All right, everybody, grab a seat. Grab a seat and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, if you want to turn to that. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. There's Bibles all over the place if you don't have one. And we are looking at the Ten Commandments as you have never seen them before. Here at the Well at Serve City, I'm Dave Householder. I'm blessed to be your Bible teacher, and we bring you deep into God's Word. We go deep into the original languages, the original meanings, and the whole thing. If you can kind of picture an old mantelpiece by a fireplace, it's been painted over like lots of times. And what we do here at the Well is we get rid of all the paint. We strip all the paint so you can actually see the texture of the wood itself. So that's what we do with the Bible. We go deep into the Word. And so we're doing the Ten Commandments as you have never seen them before. And I want to show you a picture of a bear in captivity. And this bear is not happy. Animal life, bird life, all life on earth wants to be free. That's our natural state of being. Our natural state of being is to be able to get up in the morning, go where you want, do what you need to do, benefit from the fruit of your own labor, and own the fruit of your own labor, and nobody else tells you what you have to do with that. There's something great about living in America. You can get in a car, and you can drive for 3,000 miles, and as long as you don't go too far over the speed limit, nobody's going to bug you. And if you want to buy a house in New Hampshire and stay there, you can do that. And there's something about mobility and freedom from people telling us what to do, which is part of our nature. This bear wants out. This bear wants out. And the truth is, most animals want to run free. They want to get moving. I mean, even if your dog knows where your house is, if it gets loose, who knows where it's going to go? Could end up, you hear these stories about dogs crossing state lines and stuff to get back to their owners and whatever. But basically, keep that in mind. We want to be free, and we want the fruit of our labor to be in our control. A couple things about the Ten Commandments that I'd like to share with you before we get moving on. Commandment number 4. One is that the Ten Commandments work even if you don't believe in God. Well, the first one not so much, but the rest of them, they benefit you even if you don't believe in God. Who thinks it would be a benefit to people if nobody stole? Nobody killed, nobody committed adultery. Who thinks the culture would improve? Nobody lied in court. I mean, imagine that. There was no worries about perjury and those kinds of things. We would all benefit from the Ten Commandments. Believing in God helps a lot, but the Ten Commandments work whether you believe it or not, kind of like gravity. Gravity works whether you believe in it or not, and the Ten Commandments benefit individuals and the culture no matter what. And we also, those of us who do believe in God, and I'm one of those people, you're thinking, thank goodness he's the preacher. But anyways, there's something important about grounding the way we do things in a higher power. How do I want to say this? We can come up with rules, but if rules were come up with by people, then people can change them. Thomas Jefferson, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, insisted on saying that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And they tried to get him to change that. Isn't that too spiritual? This is supposed to be a legal document. And they tried to cross it out, and he kept putting it back in. And he said, if we don't ground human rights in God's created order, if we ground it instead in human votes, then people can take them away from us. If people can give them to us, they can take them away. But if they're grounded in God, if they're grounded in something deeper, then they are permanent, inalienable. The Ten Commandments starts with a phrase that most people ignore. And God said all these words. To ground it, not in a committee meeting, not in a vote, but in something higher. Ever been to a 12-step group? They've tried to do 12-step groups without a higher power. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you're in recovery for something, you really do need to invest in something bigger than yourself. Who thinks marriages work better if you're invested in something bigger than yourselves? Because if it's just you guys, then things go wrong and there's nothing higher to attend to. So the truth is out there. A couple things I want to say about the Ten Commandments. One is, even if you're an atheist, you get all the benefits of keeping the commandments. So you may as well. It's good for the culture. And God said these things. They're grounded not in human writing, but in God. The Decalogue, the 10 words, we're at word number 4, commandment number 4. Work, freedom, and rest. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's look at this from Deuteronomy, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. For the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. So this is the fourth commandment from the book of Deuteronomy. It also is written in Exodus. We're going to look at that in a second. It says something just a little bit different, but equally as important. We like to go deep here, so we're going to go into the deep well, and we're going to look at the key word here. The key word here is Eved and Obed. Eved and Obed. And the Hebrew people don't hear the difference between B and V, so it's Eved or Ebed and Ovid or Obed. They hear the same thing. In any case, Eved is the word for work or serving someone. Our whole economy is based on serving people. You provide a good or a service, and people pay you for it. You serve them. And the more you serve people, the more they pay you. People who come up with things that really help people out a lot, like smartphones, are bazillionaires. People who clear tables, work just as hard, and that's just as noble, don't serve quite as much and don't get paid quite as much. So the more you serve people, the more you get paid. And if you can come up with something that people need, and you can provide that good or service, you can earn a living. That's how that works. So the word Eved is service or work. The word Ovid is a worker or a servant or a slave. It's the same word. Why is this important? Eved is a verb. Ovid is a noun. Going back to fourth grade English here. Eved and Ovid. Eved is a verb to work, to serve. And Ovid is someone who does that. Now, can you be a really rich servant in this country? Yes, you can. By meeting needs of people, by fixing things, by getting things done. And the more you solve people's problems, the more you get paid. That's how it works. That's how the whole economy works. So if you want to make a lot of money, find something people need and give it to them and provide that for them. Ovid is someone who does that. Now, here's the key. These two words show up all through the commandment, all through this commandment, the fourth commandment. Your servants, your male and female servants, and your own work. It's all the same word. Here's the key. Is your work voluntary or involuntary? Involuntary servitude is called slavery, right? We have one of our amendments says, no involuntary servitude in the United States. You can't force people to work. That's called slavery. After the Civil War, they passed that amendment. No more involuntary servitude. And what is God saying? Remember that you were servants in Egypt, but it wasn't voluntary. Service and work should be what? Voluntary. And the Sabbath commandment is a commandment to remember that you're not involuntary slaves. You are free to get up in the morning and work or not work and go hungry, whatever you want to do, but it's up to you. You get up and do things or you don't. But the whole thrust of this commandment is towards freedom. Remember that you were slaves. God brought you out. So take a day off every week to remember that you don't work for anybody. You might have a boss. You work for God. But really, you're working for yourself, even if you've got a boss. Who thinks bosses like people who like to produce goods and services for people that meet needs? Those are the people you hire. Who thinks the Jewish people who came up with this have been incredibly productive throughout their history? Because they take a day off to remember that they are slaves to no one. The whole thrust, the whole storyline of the Old Testament is freedom from what? Slavery. We work voluntarily. We work because we want to serve. Jesus said, I am among you as one who serves. And to be the greatest, you must be the servant of all. And the more people you serve, the greater you will be in the culture. Because that's how you get status in our culture, by serving people and doing a really good job of it. And this is a commandment, not just about taking a day off. It's a commandment about taking a day off to remember that on that day, nobody tells you what to do. Even your spouse. On that day, you should have one day a week where you remember that you work voluntarily. You do what you do because you want to, not because you have to. And if you don't like what you do, pick something else. There's no way you could live in a country where there's more opportunity than here. And what is it, 50 or 60,000 jobs right now in the LA area that are gone unfilled? There's lots of stuff that we could be doing. Or start your own company. Or do your own thing and meet needs. Jewel in the back recycles stuff from estate sales. And people want that stuff. So she provides an opportunity for taking stuff that where people die and all that kind of stuff, and there it is, and matches up those needs with what goes on. And that's providing a service on her own. So she has her own business. Or you can work for somebody with your skills and with your gifts. Either way, we are free and serving. Martin Luther 500 years ago said, we are totally free, but we are servants of all. And that's the way we should have our attitude. And the Sabbath is to remember that. And the good thing about the Sabbath is on that day, even the lowest of workers are supposed to have time off. My son works part-time at Staples, and he does other things too. But he never knows what his schedule is going to be till right before that week. This commandment says, no, you have to give people a steady day off when they can plan some things around it, where they can have a social life. Where if you schedule people, make sure they get that. If you're one of those people that schedule people, make sure that they have a regular thing that they can look forward to so that they know in September that they've got that day off so that they can plan to go to a wedding or they can plan to do what they need to do. That's the ethical thing to do. Not just give them a schedule the day before the week. Give them a chance to plan a little bit, to have a life outside of work. Now let's look at Exodus. The Ten Commandments show up in two places. Here's the trivia points. Where do they show up? Deuteronomy and Exodus. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, same list. But in Exodus, Moses says it a little differently. He doesn't talk about slavery in Egypt. He talks about the creation. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. He didn't talk about Egypt in Exodus because they'd just come out of Egypt. They knew that. By the time Deuteronomy was read, most of those people had died. And so he had to remind them about the Exodus. But here he's talking about creation. God took a day off. You need to take a day off. And I hear people say, I'm just too busy to take a day off. I'm thinking, busier than God? I mean, think about it. Nobody's busier than God. And he rested after creating the universe. So what is Moses saying here? Moses is saying, the key here is that you are like God since you're made in the image of God. And when he takes a day off, you should take a day off. And I'm in front of you as a person up until 4 years ago was a miserable Sabbath breaker. And because I was so bad at taking a Sabbath, we had to literally buy a trailer in the desert and make ourselves go there on Thursday nights and take a day off on Friday and come back Saturday. I had to make myself do that. And I take my phone and I put it in the cubby hole and I turn it off. It has helped our marriage unbelievably. My prayer life has multiplied. People, you can get more work done in 6 days than you can in seven. It's just true. It's how we're wired. It's healthier, psychologically healthier, spiritually healthier to take that day off. When Wendy and I were student pastors in South Dakota, 17 miles from the nearest paved road, this was way out there. We had prosperous farmers and farmers that were hurting. The most prosperous farmer in our area was Elmer Wirtz. And Elmer Wirtz, I asked him, how come you don't work on Sundays even during harvest time? He says, well, I just told you, you can get more work done in 6 days than you can in seven. And the people working straight through had the farms that were in debt and having trouble. There is wisdom to this. The human mind needs a break. It needs to stop from time to time. Going back into the deep well, the most important phrase, probably one of the most important phrases, if not the most important phrase in the entire Old Testament is this, and on it rests all of Western civilization. He made them male and female. He made them in his image. We call that the Imago Dei, the image of God. That is the basis of respect for other human beings. We're not created equal in terms of ability or height or weight or amount of hair or whatever. But we are created equal in dignity because we're all made in the image of God. And our whole legal system is based on that. You can't mess with other people as if they're not valuable. Just because someone's poor and you kill them, it's just as bad as killing a rich person. Because we're made in the image of God. And we're made in the image of God. We're also that one, except for maybe beavers and a few other species, we're that one species that creates. Think of the artwork and the music and the stuff we come up with. We, like God, are creators. We create things because we're made in his image. And we're more creative if we're not working straight through. Who thinks you're more creative if you take a break once in a while? You take a break from your crossword puzzle, you come back, and next thing you know, you can do it. If you try to push through and muscle through and work all the time, we never get stuff done. The Sabbath was made for us. We're made in the image of God. So he takes a break, we take a break. Here's some benefits for the Sabbath. It strengthens relationships and family. If everyone's working all the time, families tend to disintegrate. They just do. We need time to gather, to do things together, to make things happen. And I want to say this as I'm thinking about it. It doesn't have to be any one particular day. But in California, taking a Sabbath is countercultural. Taking a Sabbath in Israel is easy. You hardly see any cars on the road. People just stop. In the upper Midwest, there's places like that too, where town just sort of shuts down. Who remembers when it was like that where you live, where things just would close? And people, that's good for the workers in those places. The owner of Burger King isn't there. It's the people working for minimum wage that are there. And they need a break too. When we lived in Europe, in Germany, everything was shut down on Sunday. And guess what we did? We went out and talked to people and walked around, had dinner with people, went to church, hung out. I don't think that's going to happen in the short term here. I think it will happen in the long term here because people can't continue this rat race. And they're going to have to come up with common sense ways of shutting things down. And guess what they're going to have to look at? They're going to have to look at the Sabbath again. But that's long term. Short term, it's countercultural for you and me to take a Sabbath because people aren't doing that around us. And it's challenging. For us, it's on a Friday. For some of you, it's on a Sunday. Pick something. Pick a time where you can do it, because it strengthens relationships and the family. Second thing, much like tithing, giving 10% to the work of the kingdom, it breaks the so-called master's chains. You feel more abundant with time, and you're not in a rush all the time if you take a day off. It slows you down. It helps you realize you're not a slave. Who thinks you could be a slave to yourself? Just working straight through, too. Our Lady of, what is it, Garrison Keillor called? Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility. You're just always doing, you could be your own worst enemy, keeping yourself doing stuff all the time. Like tithing, it breaks the master's chains. When you tithe, you feel generous and wealthy. And when you feel generous and wealthy, that attracts more generosity and wealth in your life. Tithing leads to a sense of abundance. And abundance leads to more abundance. Taking a Sabbath leads to a sense of my life is not out of control. I'm feeling better about how things are going. Things are slowing down a little bit. I have a chance to think. I have a chance to connect with people. You start to feel richer in time and in money if you take a Sabbath and if you tithe, and starting to feel more powerful in that way. And power is a really good thing. Tithing gives us a feeling of wealth. Sabbath gives us a feeling of freedom. If you look at how Western culture has looked at animal cruelty, what's really interesting about this passage, it says your animals don't work either on this day. This is the first recorded thing in human history about being kind to animals. Because there are a lot of beasts of burden, but farms were run on animal power back then. And even your animals get a break. And this is the beginning of people starting to treat animals with respect and treating them well. I mean, I don't want to eat a chicken that's been stuck in a little cage that can't walk or move or anything like that. And that feeling goes back to the fourth commandment. Even your animals get a break. Be kind to those animals. Give them a chance to stop. Baseball started in America because people couldn't run the horses that long. They'd have to rest the horses and start playing baseball. That's how it worked. Psychological reset. Who here is old enough to remember defrag? When your computer would defrag. It was fun to watch where the little blocks would move over here and move over there and move over here. And it gives you a chance to defragment your brain. If you've got one day where nobody tells you what to do, and you're not your own worst taskmaster, you just sit around and relax and enjoy life, you start to put thoughts back together again. It is amazing psychologically how much that helps. I've been a Sabbath breaker most of my life up until 4 years ago, and ever since then we've been taking Fridays off in the desert, and it's worked miracles in our life. But there was one other time where I kept the Sabbath. I was a sort of rebellious student all the way through. I was always having trouble with school, with the structure of school, having to walk boy, girl on the way to the bathroom and that stuff. It just drove me nuts. But anyways, I spent a lot of time in the principal's office and whatever. But there was one time where I got great grades. Grad school. When I was in grad school and seminary, I had to read between 8 and 11 hours a day just to keep up with all the reading. Do you have any idea how many books have been written about God in the Bible? I mean, it's just, you have to read a ton of stuff. It's like law school. You got to read the whole time. And I told myself, from Friday night till Saturday night, the Jewish method, I'm not going to read anything, not even for fun. Nothing. I'm not going to read anything. Got the best grades of my life. Why? Because on that day, everything got a chance to settle. And I got a chance to think about some stuff that I've been reading. And I didn't just forget it. I mean, now, I'm going to say I was reading a book this week. It took me to page 100 until I realized I've read this book before. You guys get that with movies, too? You're like an hour into the movie, and you say, have I seen this movie before? That's a sign that we need a Sabbath. We don't even know that we're in the book that we've read before, the whole thing. It gives you a psychological reset. Creativity. Creativity thrives on some downtime. When we're under the gun, under the wheel all the time, we tend not to be creative and we don't look for creative solutions. We need that time to hear from God. We need that time to think about new things. So, practicalities. My favorite illustration, the bowling alley. Jesus lived in a time when people were overdoing the Sabbath. That's hard for people in California to imagine. But they were overdoing the Sabbath. They were making it into a real legalistic thing. So Jesus came across as sort of anti-Sabbath. You know, he would heal on the Sabbath and do other things on the Sabbath. And then we in California say, well, Jesus was kind of anti-Sabbath, so we should be anti-. No, we're in the other gutter. And if Jesus were here, he'd be pushing us out of that gutter. And that gutter is, we don't care. We just skateboard over the Sabbath. We will break fellowship with people who don't vote right or don't agree with us on this or disagree on communion or disagree on baptism. But Sabbath, who cares? I mean, would you ever think, oh, we got these new people who are going to be on our trustee board, but that one's a Sabbath breaker. We better not have him there. It doesn't even come up, does it? We just skateboard over it. And if Jesus were here, he'd try to get us back on the wood. And he'd be saying, folks, you guys are ignoring the Sabbath, not overdoing it. In the Jewish culture of his day, they were overdoing it. And he says, guys, loosen up. But he did say the Sabbath was made for us and not the other way around. But they'd lost sight of that. It'd become this rule-oriented thing. How many steps can you take on the Sabbath? You know, that kind of thing. They would count. And it got to the point where the Sabbath was a job, too, because you're just keeping all the Sabbath rules. And you're missing the point. We're in the other gutter. The other gutter is we just don't care. And we get so upset as Christians about certain things that don't make the top 10. We get so upset about people believe differently than us, about this, that. But, oh, Sabbath, that's okay. Just break that. That's fine. This is the fourth commandment. This is up there pretty high. We need to take time. And it doesn't have to be any particular time. So basically, Paul says, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moons or ceremonies or Sabbaths. Not, don't argue over what to do. Don't argue over how to do the Sabbath. My way of doing the Sabbath is better than your way of doing the Sabbath. Because it's countercultural here, we've got to be creative. And every family and every individual is going to have to do it a little differently. Because you're going to have to work with your schedule and work with how things work at your house. And it may not work like the person you're sitting next to. But I guarantee you, your life will improve if you move in the direction of keeping a Sabbath. And some of you who are younger are thinking, there is no way. I've got young kids. There's just no way I can do this. And for those of you who are thinking that, think in terms of baby steps. Take a baby step. Take an hour off. Take a morning off. Go once back when I was a terrible Sabbath breaker, Lou Minoni called me up and said, I think God is telling me this. Take your bus, go to the beach, sit there, and don't do anything. That's the message he left me. So I did. I went to Crystal Cove. I parked the van, sat there. And that was a baby step. It was a baby step in the direction of, and it was wonderful. But he could tell, as an older person who was wiser, that I was missing out on this. And some of you younger people look at some of us older people and you think, you have no idea how hard this is. I can't do this. And I got too much going on. Just take a baby step. Take a step in that direction. Figure out a way to block out, have a cell phone free time during a certain amount of time. Do whatever it needs to do to clear your mind and pray and open up and be more creative. Because God wants that for us. Take a step in that direction, whatever. What are some steps people could take? This is not a rhetorical question. What are some steps people could take? Baby steps. Yeah. Take a mini Sabbath during the day. Take a break. People in Mediterranean countries do this every day. They'll, from 12 to 2, you know, they have a big meal and go sleep. And they come back and they're very productive. When? Yeah. Go take a walk with someone after dinner. Instead of having TV all the time, having a screen-free day of some kind. Yeah. in a way, you're starting with a really short Sabbath. We can start with God, even if it's 15 seconds. Even 15 seconds, if you say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you today. I'm going to, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? That's a way of getting off on the right foot. That's right. It's countercultural here. We've got to find creative ways. Yep. That's right. Creatively. How about this side of the room? They're taking up all the airwaves over here. What are some ideas you guys have? Yeah? That's wonderful. Boy, getting across Huntington Beach, you could read a whole book of the Bible. Vicki? Yeah, put on your own oxygen mask first, yeah, before you help others. Gas mask. She said a very special birthday. Very special birthday yesterday. One or two more. What are some things we can do to pray before you eat? That's a way of just stopping before you eat, rather than just start gobbling. To stop and pray and be grateful before eating. It's a great idea. So throw an apron over your head, for those of you who didn't hear that. That's just take an exit ramp. I'm not here anymore. I've known moms who've locked themselves in bathrooms and just said, you know, hey, I'm going to lock myself in the bathroom, and it's the way it is. Wendy's got something here. Do what you need to do to preserve your sanity. Do what you need to do to preserve your sanity. We want to stay clear in the head. And the Sabbath is a way of staying clear in the head. It's mental floss in that sense. It just clears things out. You know, baby steps are great, but I'm going to close with this, invite the worship team back up. Baby steps are great, but also, who here is the kind of people who get into a swimming pool using the steps? Raise your hands if you use the steps. Use the steps? How many of you people always jump? Okay. Some of you are steppers and some of you are jumpers. And here's a picture of a jumper. There we go. There will be no water left in the pool after this one. But look at the joy in this guy's face. It's awesome. Some of you are baby steppers, and some of you are the kind of people, when you show up in the pool, you just do a cannonball. And for you, what you got to do this week is just pick a day and say, I'm just going to do the Sabbath cold turkey on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever day it is. I'm just going to do it, and you know who you are because you guys are cannonballers. So some people need to take baby steps. Some people need to just jump in and do it, go whole hog. But do it in a way that honors God, that honors yourself, that reminds you that you are a free servant, not a slave servant. And that your work is there to be creative and to add value to people's lives. That's what we're there for. So let's pray. Lord, we pray a blessing on everyone here their next Sabbath. I pray a blessing on me and Wendy as we head out to the desert and spend the day on Friday. Give you thanks for our times out there, Lord. It's been so good for us. And you've blessed us for keeping the Sabbath. And I want to pray for those people who really struggle with it, Lord, just really struggle with just too many people wanting a piece of them all the time. And I pray that you'd give us all creative ways of moving in the direction of being honoring of the Sabbath. For you did this because you wanted us to thrive. You wanted human flourishing. And human flourishing happens when we're Sabbath keepers. It just works that way, as a culture, as individuals. So we pray, Lord, for creative ways of doing this. We pray for great conversations between husbands and wives and kids, parents, siblings. We pray, Lord, that the baby steppers here would take some great baby steps, the toe dippers, and the cannonballers would just go ahead and just get her done this week and just start doing Sabbath. So we pray, Lord, that each of us would find this in our own way. We pray that you would bless us, Lord, as you blessed your people Israel, who've so flourished under this commandment. Lord, that little country is so productive because they keep the Sabbath. And we want some of that flourishing in our lives too. Lord, we give you thanks for these Ten Commandments. Even when our faith falters, it works. This stuff works. Even we don't sense your presence 24/7, this stuff works. So we pray, Lord, for our country. We pray that our country would become a Sabbath-keeping culture. Maybe not next week, but long run. We pray for that. We believe that. Next week sounds good. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, let's stand up and sing.